Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner. I'm throwing in Oracle, teacher, but more importantly, a student, an ongoing student, practicing. I never get out of class. There's no breaks. There's no vacation. There's no days off. It's just constant. It's a constant grind. Grind what? What? This happiness thing is more than a notion. And let me be very, very clear. When I say happiness, I'm talking about an energy. I'm talking about a personal energy, a personal vibration. You can feel the difference when you're vibrating. Openness, acceptance, surrendering, trust. You can feel the difference, or the other is the resisting this moment. This moment shouldn't be happening. No. You can feel the difference. The good news is, my dear listeners, the good news is, my dear audience, is that this happiness thing is a practiced skill. Just like any other skill that's out there from, now we have I know that not a lot of people are NBA fans. I don't know why, the whole athlete, it's just a fascinating lessons. There's so many lessons to be learned watching sports. And forget about the politics, but just the sports, even the point where the desire to win a championship or the desire to win a Super Bowl or the desire to be the top of the top MVP. There's so many great lessons in sports. So what was my point? Oh, my point was that if you're going to be a professional athlete or anything with any type of skills that are beyond, it takes practice. And this thing called happiness, again, it's an energy, this vibration, it goes hand in hand with the vibration and energy of contentment. All you know what how contentment feels like. There's no interpretation needed. This vibration of contentment, is it possible to vibrate and have this energy of inner peace and contentment regardless of what happens? The answer is yes. But it is a practice, and it is a commitment. And it requires you, my dear listener, prioritizing contentment, inner peace. Number one, you know, I heard this last week. This happiness is the new wealth, baby. Happiness is the new wealth. At least I love that saying. I'm gonna see if I can get that trademark. Don't you dare get that trademark before me. Happiness, and if you do that, more power to you. Happiness is the new wealth. And let me be very clear. I said it before. When I talk about happiness, it is a state of mind. It is a state in mind. It becomes, and when it becomes a state in mind, a state of mind, it becomes your identity. And identifying with what? identifying with the vibration, the universal vibration of peace and contentment. Let me give you my definition of happiness, and I know we all have a different definition, but here's my definition. And I say that we are as different as our fingerprints, and I don't pretend, even though it sounds like I'm a know-it-all, I don't pretend to have all the answers, but what I can share with you is what I've been practicing for 40-plus years, 45 years now, this happiness, this inner peace, wanting it, putting it number one over everything else, and I mean everything else, health, money, only son, you name it, this peace and contentment is number one in my life. And I realize that everybody isn't the same. Everybody doesn't value this thing we call happiness or this thing that I call contentment. Everybody doesn't think that happiness is the new wealth. I get it. I promise you I do. And there used to be a time when I would try to convince people, of course it's more important. It's the most important. Yes. Get on the happiness bandwagon. No, I stopped that. But what I can share with you, especially if you're a new listener, you can Google this. It's the five most common regrets of the dying. The five most common regrets of the dying. It was a study done by a hospice nurse, and these people had days to live, weeks to live, months to live, and they were asked, what are their biggest regrets? And these five regrets kept coming up over and over and over again. And so this hospice nurse, her name is Bronnie Ware, wrote a book about it. And I know I start the show off with this all the time, but just please be patient with me, especially if you've listened to me for 15 years. The first most common regret of the dying, I wish I would have pursued my dreams and aspirations and not the life others expected of me. Here we go. I wish I didn't work so hard. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings and speak my mind. I wish I would have stayed in touch with my friends. I wish I would have let myself be happier. Now, you know the interesting thing? This is an impersonal universe. And this show, I promise you, not everybody, but this show, reality, spirituality, and especially with me hosting it, pushes buttons. I know it. I get the emails. I get the disgruntled. I get the pushback. I get the resisting. I get all of it. And it's never personal. It's never, ever personal. I don't take what anyone says to me personally or does to me personally. I used to. But one of the practices is to let go of taking anything personally. And when I use the term universe, you can interchange it with whatever label, title you want, whether it's the divine, source, higher energy, God, whatever term you want to use. And if you don't want to use the term, that's okay too. There is an energy about it. And so my definition of happiness is the ability to vibrate a personal energy of peace and contentment, regardless of what happens, regardless of what the world throws at me, regardless of what my eyes see. The ability to vibrate peace. And the more, and again, it is a practice. This happiness is a practice skill. Inner peace is a practice skill. Contentment is a practice skill. How do you like them apples? That's good news. That means anyone can practice if it's important enough to you. And I sure did have to let go of thinking that if it's important to me, it's got to be important to everybody else. That's for all you people with causes out there. I used to have a cause too. I used to, the more people happy, everybody, I ask people, you want to be happier? Everybody raises their hand, yes, of course. And lo and behold, where does all the work happen? In the mirror. all of the work, all of the self-awareness, all of the consciousness starts in the mirror. And there's not a lot of people running to the mirror for answers. Oh, today's show, it's one of my favorite topics. I'm going to throw this in. All holidays, this holiday thing, and I'm not poo-pooing holidays. However, let's talk about the truth about these holidays. And since it is Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there, or anybody celebrating, but let me be very clear. And I don't pretend, this is not a show about, a popularity. No, I don't need to be popular. I don't need to be liked. I don't need to be followed, none of it. All I'm doing is sharing my perspective. And if for whatever reason you find that this, wow, I never thought about it like that, Rebecca, you don't even have to say thank you. But I never thought about it like that before. That's all I'm doing is sharing a different perspective. I realize that this message and what I teach and what I share is controversial. Sometimes it's disruptive. It can be contentious and unpopular with the masses. Of course, anything that rocks the boat rocks the norm. And I'm talking about Mother's Day and how Mother's Day can how celebrating Mother's Day can subtract from happiness. Oh my God! Put your seatbelts on. Put them on. Lock them down. Seatbelts. In fact, let me ask you the question. And if you want to speak with me, I always just shoot out of the cannon so quickly. If you want to speak with me, you can call area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And press the number 1 and you can speak with me directly. Or if you are on Wisdom, you know how to ask to join the conversation. Either one. I'm open, very open, especially today, about this Mother's Day programming. What did she just say? That's right. Mother's Day is just another program. How dare you talk about the sacred Mother's Day and, oh, the mothers that have sacrificed for their children. I get it, but try to stay open for this, or not. When I ask, would you like to experience more happiness? And again, let's go back to this is an energy, a vibration of contentment. Would you like to experience more contentment? 99.9% of the people raise their hand and say yes. Well, one of the things to practice is to recognize, put a spotlight on, to illuminate these programs, these man-made human programs, and that includes all holidays. What? And I'll tell you, let me just stick with Mother's Day. You have, I don't even know if Mother's Day is celebrated around the world. I don't know. But I'm just going to stick with the United States. If it is, that even makes it even more of a program. Billions of people. How can you have everybody shut down and celebrate a holiday on the same day, year after year, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what kind of mother you had, this obligation, and it is an obligation, a programmed obligation to celebrate Mother's Day on Mother's Day. Don't you celebrate Mother's Day a week before or a week later. No, it has to be celebrated on the day. anything that brings with it or is attached with or is attached to it, a holiday that is attached to an obligation of behavior, an obligation that I have to behave in a certain way on a certain day. That rhymed. That I have to behave in a certain way on a certain day. Number one, it's a program. Number two, it's an obligation. And number three, if there are people, whether it's mothers, sisters, daughters, fathers, it doesn't matter. And you claim, here we go, seatbelts. I told you to put your seatbelts on. Please. Put them on. This is going to be bumpy. Put your helmets on too. Your astronaut suit, your space suit on too. Put everything on. Protect yourself. This is going to be a blow to the head, blow to the back of the head. But at least you know it's coming. So it's going to be a blow to the front of the head because the back of the head is a blind side. No, this isn't going to be a blind side. As a mother, and I've been a different mother with my growth, and I can only speak for myself, with my growth with my personal growth, my spiritual growth, with my own conscious growth, I've changed. I've morphed into a different type of mother than I was when I first had my son. And of course, that could be an obvious statement. But the truth is, some people don't change. Not putting a judgment on it. I'm just saying that there's some people that don't change. I know my mother didn't change. My father didn't change. I mean, as far as personal change, growing. It wasn't a priority. It just wasn't. It wasn't a priority of personal growth, spiritual growth. No. So let me back up. When I first had my son, and I can only, I've already said this. Number one, I was not one of these women that as soon as that baby popped out, I was goo-goo and ga-ga and look at the cute little fingers and toes and oh, how precious and ooh. I was not that at all. Can you tell? I just wasn't feeling it. And I felt guilty for not being one of those mothers that, oh, baby, no, make it. And I remember one of my mother's friends that she worked with. She was a younger woman, a little older than me, but she was so into that baby and kissed all the, I'll never forget it. We were at a restaurant and she kissed every single finger on that baby's hands. And it just wasn't me. It wasn't me at that time. It just wasn't me. And so the programming is to compare with someone else and then feel bad about not being the quote-unquote the norm and then feel bad about being normal or not being normal. Boy, oh boy, and even let me be even more transparent. I've shared this before, but it's Mother's Day. I'm going to share it again. I was not one of these women that found any joy. Here we go. Any joy during the first 3 months of having that baby, having that thing. It was, here we go, it was an inconvenience. I'm just being honest. It was an inconvenience. I had to get back to working out. I had to get my body back. You know, I was a fitness instructor. Oh, no. It was a inconvenience. And to top it off, My poor Nathan. And to top it off, I said, inconvenience, annoyance. Now I have to wake up in the middle of the night to feed this baby. And I will tell you exactly when all of that shifted and I began to, quote, bond with this thing. They called my son bond with this baby. And I can laugh at it now. And that's another thing. That's another practice. And everybody, please write this down or not. Lighten up. Lighten up with this life and lighten up with the energy. And it's not that serious. I just told you that I had no love, no bonding with my son for 3 months. And now, it wasn't funny at the time, but shortly after, that's a funny story. In other words, but gravitate toward the lightness of life. Find humor. Search for humor, especially those unwanted moments. And I'm using air quotes with the unwanted moments. Let me get back to the Mother's Day. Well, let me share with you when that happened, that I could feel a shift. And it shifted when I took this baby. I guess it was my baby. When I took this baby, my son, to visit my mother-in-law. Now, this woman, we had this relationship back and forth, and you know, she, what a strong figure. But what she did teach me, or what she did show me, is that in 3 months, she made this baby laugh. She made this baby smile. I don't know if she was making a face, or she was doing a little beepity, a little googly thing. But this baby that I had for 3 months and never even had a clue, never had a clue that this baby could smile or laugh, this kid was smiling, switched everything for me. What? I know it's kind of a different kind of story, but it's the truth. And I said, wow, this baby can laugh? I was into it. I was into him from that moment on. My point is that the program of that everyone has to honor, has to behave, has to acknowledge, has to call, has to have dinner with, has to these celebratory events, has to happen on this day, doesn't that feel heavy to you? Or is it that you've been doing it or celebrating this Mother's Day for so long, forever, lifetime, that, oh, yeah, it's just normal. Yeah, for one day I've got to A, B, C, D. I've got to go over to my mother's house. I've got to go over to my mother-in-law's house. I have to send a card. All of these obligations. My point is, listen, if it feels light and guiltless and without the vibration or the energy of obligation, then of course, oh good, and I'll come to you in a minute. I'll come to you in a minute. And of course, but that obligation vibe is what I'm talking about. And I was married to a person who was obligated. And when I say obligated, I mean every single Thanksgiving until she breathed her last breath, this man was celebrating Thanksgiving with her. Regardless of where his son was, regardless of where his wife was, I'm not even talking about judging. I'm just talking about the deep programming of obligation. Hold on a second. Let me just do this. Guest waiting. Yes, of course. Yes. Hold on. Let me do this. Click on this. Click on that. And your name is, pronounce it for me, please.
Shirente.
Oh, of course I would never have gotten that. Shirente, what a beautiful name. Thank you for joining. What's your comment or question?
Comment is, say it louder for the people in the back, please. I'll say it louder for the people in the back. Okay, I said that first because it's the obligation factor. I do not like the obligation factor because it's not just this holiday, but also Christmas, Thanksgiving, and all. No. And, like, right now, I'm going to just be, we're very brave, is me and my husband have been out of our house because of a pipe bursting since December, okay? Mm-hmm. During this time, okay, my mother-in-law had an amendment to support or nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, finances have been getting wonky and stuff like that. And this past week, let's just say that my husband and family did some things, and I had to remind my husband, I was like, baby, you don't need to please them no more. You don't need to be in that loop no more. And the fact that it's Mother's Day and you don't financially got it, just say, I don't financially have it, and I'll take you out for dinner next month or whenever we get back in our house and we have the finances to actually do it. And if she gets mad, she gets mad. I don't care, because the last thing that we're going to do is try to sacrifice when we're already been in figure it out mode. And now we're tapping into our investments and kind of things. So I'm like, no, absolutely not. And I had a reminder. I'm like, no, you don't have to show up on that day. You don't have to show up also in that way. The thing is that she's also a part of a church. The church can show her that if it really wants to be about obligation, because that's a very structured place. So I was like, you don't want to do that. For me, I celebrated Mother's Day early because we didn't know my mom was going to be here for Mother's Day because she was going to go help my dad in California because he was going to have surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And so I bought her the balloons because when I went to the store, the balloons, just they got my attention for me. And I was like, she'll love those. I'm buying those because they make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And they make me happy. I think they'll make her happy because I think like that. And then I bought her, me, and my sister, and my sister is preparing to want to have a child, so I bought her some flowers because we all celebrate Mother's Day. Yeah, you don't basically have a child right now, and you still have that capability to be a mother if you should choose to be a mother, because it's a choice.
And let me just jump in because you said so many gems, and you just went through them so quickly. One of the things that you said, and so let me ask you this question or pose this question to the audience. If somebody gets angry, gets angry because I don't want to celebrate a certain holiday, and you're right, it's not just Mother's Day, it's all the holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, all the holidays, all the obligations. It is number one program. But if somebody that says that they love me and they don't understand or they would not accept me not wanting to celebrate a holiday or a Mother's Day and me not wanting to even visit, and you get upset, what is that shows me, number one, I don't know, that doesn't feel like love to me. Number two, when anyone, and I used to do this, so don't. I used to be the queen of it, and you can come back if you have more time, sweetie. I used to be the queen of this, holding a grudge, and poking my lips out, getting mad at people I claim to love because they weren't behaving the way I wanted to behave, because they weren't behaving the way I wanted them to behave. So that's not love. That's manipulation. That's controlling. The other thing I'm going to just throw out, with you really quickly, and put your seatbelt on for this one, just because. And even your husband. See, I had one of these husbands that was really attached to the mother and all the obligations. So even them letting go of what they think they want to do, because now there's even more pressure putting, I love it for sight, putting pressure on him to behave in a way. I get it as far as the money goes, but let him, this is just my humble, let him figure this out himself. But you're the example of not being or not having this obligation. Does that make any sense?
I hear you, and I will actually say this, Ms. Rebecca. He's the one that said, absolutely, Sharente, that's a great plan because I don't have it and I don't want to pressure myself because we have been overextending ourselves by still showing up to things and doing all the things. And I, because we both are, we call ourselves the recovering people pleasers.
I was going to ask you, now I'm getting chills. I get chills when people, you know, speak their truth or tell the truth or I speak, you know, universal truth. So now I'm getting chills. Wow. I mean, what a great partnership that you recognize and can be honest about that recovering people pleases. Oh, my goodness. So there's even more no's in your future.
And I'm learning that it's okay. And so when you said, how is Mother's Day can it subtract from your happiness? And the absolute thing is yes, because if it's coming from a place of guilt, manipulation, and all those in-betweens, then that's not coming from a place of love. That's coming from a place of fear and lack.
That's right. That's right. Wow. Whew, I was sure that I was going to get a lot of pushback because this program, this Mother's Day program, is really, really deep-rooted. And, of course, it's my mother, and now she's in her 90s, and I'm obligated. Well,
I celebrate her every single day.
Thank you.
And the way that you live your life, because the thing is that train a child up in the way that they should go so they should never depart. If they've taken the time to train you, you being in that training, whether it's they trained you just to love people, then you love people. Then you're honoring your mother and you're honoring your mother and your father, and your days will be long. That's how I interpret those scriptures, is you take the time to show the love that they showed you out. Yes, some of it was a little bit dark because everyone's reparenting themselves, and that's okay. But you can take it, and you can still shine it really bright. And you can still take the BS from your early days and make it where it's that pot of gold. And that's a choice. And I will say, doing things by force, I'm just going to talk about for myself for a second, doing things by force has caused my body not once but twice to have medical moments. First in December with appendicitis because I stressed myself out and I was pushing, trying to get things done, hustling, grinding, all those, and it didn't help me. And I started to get back into the flow. And then I did a program where I was heavily working on my inner judger and my accomplice saboteurs, a.k.a. my hyperachiever, my restless, my avoider, all the in-betweens. And in that, I actually stayed in my hyperachiever, so much so that when I tried to do a 75-day challenge, I overdid my sugar, forgetting that it was the sugar that got me super sick in the first place, forgetting I should not be eating cross-contaminated food, forgetting that I should not be taking shortcuts. And that led me to having another body episode. And I'm at this point now where I'm like, flow is the way to go. That's how I say in my no. That's how things happen for me, and the universe meets me where I'm at. Mm-hmm. And blessings have been coming ever since I've made that decision, especially this past week, because of everything that's happened.
I want you to come back up one more time if you have time, because I definitely want to address something that you're talking about with these saboteurs and all this kind of stuff. I want to address that too. Thank you for coming back up. So I just want to address what you're talking about, your saboteur or your
The methodology names, I'm just going to be absolutely honest. I'll just say that's the name that this particular program has prescribed to it.
Okay. Because and the one of the things that I feel with you, and you can, you know, tell me to go to hell if you want to. But one of the things I feel with you in that saboteur, you know, this blocking, I'm not talking about you now, these programs that I'm blocking my good, or I'm blocking my abundance, or I'm sabotaging my A, B, C, or D. I'm here to tell you that whatever the universe has planned for you, for me, for anybody out there, there is absolutely no power. There's nothing I can do that's going to block it. There's nothing I'm going to do that's going to make it not happen. I don't have that power. And one of the things that I'm noticing, and I'm just, you know, throwing it out, is that this, and always because I've had to, I do it myself, is the stories that my ego comes up with, the thoughts and the stories as to why. Pay attention when, I'm just going to speak for myself, when I use that word because, this is what happened because, no, who is the author of whatever is coming after that word because? Who is coming up with that theory or that conclusion? And I'm here to say that if there's only one perspective, if I can only see it one perspective, I know it's coming from my, you call it whatever you want, lower self, lower consciousness, ego, critical mind, whatever you want to call it. So the story, my practice right now, presently, what is this? May the 14th, 2023, is to witness the stories in my head as opposed to identifying with the stories. And I know why this happened, and I know why it didn't happen. And I know you're talking about something medical. I ate more sugar, and this is what happened with my body. I get it. But there was a reason why you were supposed to experience that medical condition.
Oh, here's the thing. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Girl, I've had wonderful conversations since this entire thing, and people are like, oh, you gave me confirmation for X, Y, and Z. And I was like, see, I knew there was a reason besides me doing what I did.
Oh.
But the thing is everything is in flow. And that's why I'm like, I know everything is in flow. Everything stays in flow. And I also realized that I also can stop being so hard on myself, too.
Thank you.
Because I'm sometimes very, very hard on myself. And I have to remind myself, Sharon, can you give so many people grace, especially for some things that they do repeatedly? Can you just give yourself the grace? At the exact same time. So I will say is that for me, I do give myself the grace every single day. And I remind myself every single day is a brand new day. I don't have to bring up what's from the past. I can just be focused on the today.
Mm-hmm.
Today, everything is taken care of.
Mm-hmm. In this moment, that's right, this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the
in this moment, like, I'm talking to you. I'm having a wonderful time right now co-creating with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm here.
Well, I was getting chilled when you were talking about, you know, sharing with other people. I mean, my whole body chilled up. Oh, what was my point? My whole body chilled up. This is what I practice. And at first, it really bothered me. In fact, I got some pushback on it. It was a couple of weeks ago. And I got someone responding to me that, oh, that's off the wall. Whatever, that's fine. So this is what I do, because I came from a house that was very critical. Marcel and Ralph Norrington, boy, oh, boy, could they criticize. If you didn't get an A, if you got an A minus, why wasn't it an A? I mean, always. So, of course, growing up, I was able to just criticize myself. So what I do practice is everything you do, my dear, everything you do, everything you say, how you say it, when you say it, you always get an A+.
Thank you.
Always.
If I cry, it is what it is. But I thank you for sending all that love and those words and being in this moment to co-create, because you blessed my spirit more than one time. And I thank you for hosting this conversation and ruffling the feathers, because the feathers need to be ruffled sometimes. Because, yes, you can plant the seed, you get to the harvest, but after the harvest, there still has to be thrashing. There still has to be willowing. There still has to be fire, sifting, grinding, until you get to the offering. So there's steps to everything.
Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate you being on the show today and also contributing. And she's right. Not only the ruffling, the pruning, I call it torture. It's just this growth thing. But see, that's another program. It's another program that it's not easy though. This looking in the mirror and practicing and self-awareness and being conscious is not easy. That's why it's the road less traveled. But let's get back to another thing that she said. What was it? Hold on a second. I have to rattle my head. I have to rattle back and forth. Let's see. Shake my head right and left. What did she say? Oh, the self-criticism. That's another program. The program to criticize self. The sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. The sun shines on both. So the practice is to accept, universally love self, just like the universe is accepting. And this giving myself an A+, giving myself an A+, regardless of what I do, how I do it, how I say it, if I get a little bothered, if I get a little out of sorts, my son calls it charged, if I'm a little charged, it's all okay. It's all good. It's all good. And just going back to that. It's a foundational practice. So when I talk about the behaviors that subtract from happiness, the program behaviors, there are also behaviors that add to your peace, that add to your contentment, that add to your happiness. And what are they? What are some of them? Well, it's prioritizing contentment. It's wanting contentment. It's desiring contentment over everything else. And then go along and then handle the life. It's, talk about putting the cart before the horse. This contentment cart is number one. This happiness cart, this peace, inner peace cart is number one. The life, everything else is number two. That's the way I look at it, is number two. Well, that's why I'm the world's only happiness specialist. I don't know if I'm the only one. That's why everything else is number two. And choosing peace in all moments. And practicing acceptance. Practicing acceptance of what? Acceptance of the present moment. And acceptance of these people that are not like you. And acceptance of these people that are programmed, that they have to follow. That's another thing that she was saying. Can a robot make a choice? Can somebody that is programmed make another choice other than the program? Other than what the program is dictating, can a robot make a choice? And I use the term robot very lovingly and affectionately, you cute little robot. So I get it that, yeah, happiness is a choice, but no, it's not. Not if you're programmed to believe that you have to, need to. And if you don't, you feel guilty or you feel obligated, then the only choice you have is what you've been downloaded. And I'm here to tell you, again, if you want to speak with me live, you can call in area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619, and or if you're on Wisdom, you can ask to join the conversation. But let's get back to it. That's why the spotlight on the programs is important, because the programming, these program behaviors subtract from contentment. And if there is somebody in your life that you say that you love, and it bothers you that and it annoys you, or their behavior annoys you for whatever reason, even if it's a mother-in-law or a father-in-law or sister, twin sister, if it annoys you, it still comes back to you. Lack of acceptance of these people, even these program people that need to feel obligated to celebrate a holiday. Now, as parents, and if you are a parent, fine, and if you're not, as a parent, what is the biggest gift that you, what is one of the most profound gifts you can give to your children? Since this is Mother's Day, and I talked about my beginning career as a mother. And to the point right now, I asked my son a couple of days ago. He sent me something overnight just so I could have it today to open. And I ask them, and I ask them this all the time, do you feel obligated to call me, to text me, to connect with me on Mother's Day? Because as his mother, I know I said because, but as his mother, I do not want him to feel 1 ounce of obligation towards me. Not one. Not one. Not obligation to call, not obligation for a card. And this is not only for Mother's Day, this is for any day. Birthday, Christmas. And if you and I shared before how we do celebrate a different day. Any kind of holiday can be celebrated on any day you want. Mother's Day can be celebrated on what? Christmas Day? Well, that's just crazy. That's right. That's how you break, expose the programming. If you are a herd animal, and I'm not poo-pooing herd animals because I'm sure they have a purpose too, but as a human, you're more than a herd animal. Not herd, H-U-R-T, herd, H-E-R-D. Uh-oh, hold on a second. H-E-R-D-E-S-T. Of course, that didn't go through. Okay, let me go back in. Technical. Oh, there we go. Okay, good. Back in. Herd animal. So that's the question that only you can answer. Are you following what everybody else does? Following what's quote-unquote normal? Oh, boy, it's normal. I'm here to say that I'm here to say is that be mindful of the deep programming that you've received. Just be mindful. And there are ways to celebrate any day that you like. Call it whatever you want. It's just being open to not just doing what everybody else is doing just because they're all doing it. Some of the other behaviors that are going to add to your inner peace, contentment, and happiness, I spoke about it earlier, just surrendering in the moment, surrendering in the present moment, being okay. All right, this moment may feel a little, however it feels, and be very mindful of putting a label on it. All labels require judgment. That's why I'm just feeling. I'm not feeling sad. I'm not feeling happy. I'm not feeling annoyed. I'm not feeling whatever it is. I'm feeling. I'm human and I'm feeling. It's just a different way of thinking. It's just a different type of perspective. And for me, it opens up so many different avenues. It opens up so many different journeys and paths that, yes, I can feel and still be content. Let me just throw this out. I can get angry. I can get annoyed. But underneath all of that is just peace. How can that be? Look at the ocean. I've said this 100. I've got to come up with a new analogy. You've got the surface of the ocean. Waves are turning. Waves are being tossed. Sun, wind, rain, tsunami, and then at the bottom is peace. So you can experience all these emotions but still feel that peace and contentment, especially when you practice trust, especially when you practice letting go, especially when you choose your perspective, and especially when you know that whatever is happening to you in any moment is happening for your betterment, especially when you practice witnessing yourself, witnessing these thoughts, witnessing the stories, as opposed to identifying with the stories. Let go of these stories. Or not. Question the stories. Are they true? If there's only one way you can find, if there's only one perspective, side eye to that story. let me give you an example. I don't know why I couldn't find that word. Let me give you an example of what I do. I got it down to a science now. Of what I do, especially for all you sports fans, and you have a favorite team. I have favorite teams. And if I'm watching a game and I have a preference, all preferences subtract from your piece, all preferences subtract from your happiness. So I know when I have a preference. And I have a preference and I'm watching, let's just say I'm watching basketball. I'm just going to throw it out only because the playoffs are happening now. So I'm watching basketball and I have a team that I want to win. First of all, I tape everything. I don't watch anything live. I tape everything because I don't want to watch commercials. So things that I do watch, which are usually just comedy shows and, I can't seem to let go of this damn Survivor show. I can't seem to let go of it. I want to let go of it. It jumped the shark about 2 years ago. I just can't let go of it yet. So anyway, comedy shows and then Survivor. Okay, what's my point? Oh, back to the basketball game. So there's a team that I prefer that I would want to win. And I already know this causes a lot of angst. This causes a lot of, stress. If you're rooting for a team to win and you want them to win and they're down by 6 points or 10 points, that's stressful. Here's the solution, finally, after all these years. If there is a team that I want to win, if there's not a team, I don't care. It doesn't matter. But if there's a team, I tape the game. And I fast forward, here we go, I know, she's crazy, and I fast forward to the end of the game. I fast forward to see who won. So if my team, if the team that I prefer to win won, then I can go back and I don't watch the whole game. Now I start maybe 5 minutes, 8 minutes at the most in the fourth quarter. This happens with football, with baseball, with basketball. The same thing. It's genius, if I must say so myself. A little crazy, but I fast forward, I see who won, and then if the team that I prefer to win wins, then I can go back and watch the last 5-8 minutes and as calm and as cool and as pleasant. My team won, and I can watch it now. And if my team that I prefer didn't win, if my team didn't win, guess what? I don't watch it. Why am I going to put myself through hell watching the game that the team that I wanted to win didn't win? What a solution. Go all the way so that there's no stress because of a live game. I go all the way to the end, see who won. If it's the team I wanted, I watch the last 5-4 minutes of it. How many of you are going to tell me that's a genius? Uh-oh, hold on a second. Here we go. Oh, Sparkly Queen. Oh, that sounds like fun. Sparkly. Sparkly Queen. What's up, Sparkly? Yes, that's right.
What's happening, girl? What's happening? H to the J. What's happening, baby? Like Tupac.
Ooh,
what's happening, girl?
It's all happening. Sparkly Queen. How did you get Sparkly Queen?
Well, I'm going to tell you why I got Sparkly. Well, Sparkly is my personality.
Oh.
It's an analogy that I use for every wisdomer on the app. And I called my team on God's Helpers Podcast. God's Helpers Podcast, we are here to help people. We're like angels. You know, we help people and we give advice. You might hear me say about my day. I said a few cuss words.
No, say them. You can say them.
I'll tell you on my podcast, say a few cuss words, tell about Jesus, but can play music and talk about anything under the sun. So whatever podcast, I always give an encouraging word, and everybody get a laugh. So I'm the comedian. And sparkly means witty, funny, very shiny. You shine so bright. Everywhere you go, you lit up the room. That's what sparkly means.
I like sparkly.
I like that. And I separate the sparkle meaning. So I'm going to call you Sparkle. From sparkly, that means from witty and funny and inspiring. And they shine. But you, Sparkle, that means you like the celebrity. You lit up the room everywhere you go.
Ooh, ooh.
So, honey, continue to sparkle, honey.
Ooh, ooh. Get out my way. Get out my way. Get out my way. Move. Move. Get out my way.
Yes.
Here I come.
Dad, you are a celebrity. Is Elizabeth McClung your daughter?
Who?
Elizabeth McClung, my homegirl. You know Elizabeth?
No, no. I do not have a daughter. No. Not that I know of.
Just like her, though. No, you sound like her, too.
Huh?
But you ain't her.
No, I ain't.
Oh, girl.
So what do you think about this obligation and Mother's Day? What do you think about that?
Well, Mother's Day is the best thing ever. You know, I want to celebrate my mother who has a podcast on here.
Oh.
Her name is Michelle Samuels. She is the mother of the queen herself. I believe on Broadway, that's why I call myself a queen. And I told you why I call myself a spark because it's my personality. And so I'm like a firecracker, as you can see.
Mm.
Bold and feisty.
So I have a question for you. I have a question for you, Miss Bold and Feisty. What do you do when you're not bold and feisty? What do you do when you're a little annoyed or bothered or irritated? What do you do then?
Well, I love to do dancing and shout down the pews at church and call on Jesus, speak it tall. That's why I do, calm down and watch a movie and listen to music.
So let me ask you another question, if you don't mind. So what makes you angry? What bothers you? What annoys you?
Well, what annoys me is certain things that I get people's perceptions, because I don't like people's perceptions of me.
Oh.
People say I'm not nice, I'm not kind, or they call me a liar, and I'm not a liar.
Ooh.
I'm not a liar. And they call me a liar. And they accuse me of things I don't do. They slander my name.
How the hell does all that happen?
I don't know. And I get accused of stuff. Very easy. I'm so nice. As you can see, I'm a very nice lady. I'm a very nice lady.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of stuck because you're talking about these people that are accusing you of all this stuff, and I want to share a story, and I've shared this before, but I'll share a story. You talked about, so but how do you feel when people are accusing you of all this kind of stuff? I mean, do you take it personally, or does it just roll off your back, or you're just, you don't let whatever people say affect you?
Well, you know, it's my exes who are doing it. It's my mom one time accused me of something. I don't want to say what it is. I'm gonna have to come on back.
Yeah, I'll let you come back. Come back, sweetie. Come back. So that's gonna be interesting. And you know, one of the things that I've said this before, but especially you people out there, you single people dating or looking for somebody, or, you know, looking for a friendship, whatever you're looking for, always ask somebody, and just like I asked my dear friend Sparkly now, Sparkly Queen, it's a good question. What bothers you? What angers you? And that's when you want to get right to who a person is. You only know a person when they're challenged. It's easy to be nice. It's easy to be friendly. But what happens when somebody, just like Sparkly said, calls her a liar, says she's mean, or whatever label. So what happens when that those type of attacks happen. So what do you do? What's the practice? So what is your practice, Barkley?
Yes.
What is your practice?
Calling them out and know that I know my truth. And my friend Elizabeth taught me, you know your truth, Sahara. You know you're a good girl. Like my mama say, you were raised right. People say that they know me. And people that know me, they know I was lied to them. And I told the truth. Everything that I screenshot to people, they say, ooh, that's true, girl, because I'm bold like that. I was screenshot. I show you what they taught me. And you say it was true. But I told my friend, my uncle, Jason Kenty, me and Jason Kenty talked on here. And he like my uncle. And you know what he did? He said, it's true. Jerry Springer is dead. He didn't believe me. I told him the truth. So see, right then and there, I tell it like it is. I'm honest.
Well, you know, the other thing is, let me just say this, because I've shared this story before. I've been called so many different names, from toxic to selfish to delusional to I've contributed nothing to the planet, and I've shared the story more than once. So forgive me, especially all you listeners that have heard it. And I was told that by someone who's worth $50 million, 197 IQ. He's responsible for the inspiration for the CBS show Scorpion. His name is Walter O'Brien. Forgive me if you've heard this a million times, but it's one of my favorite stories. So when somebody calls you or attacks you or calls you out of your name, number one, words innately words do not have any power. So that's my practice. You can call me whatever you want to call me. And the other thing is, it's never personal what anybody calls you. It's a reflection of how they're feeling. How they're feeling, lashing out. There's a saying, hurt people, hurt people. But somebody doesn't have the power to hurt me, to bother me, to make me feel a certain way, unless I believe it. If I believe what you're saying, if I believe your words, if I believe your rendition of who I am, then yes, then I'm going to be bothered. But whatever somebody calls you, whether it's negative or not, know that they're describing themselves. And let me get back to this lying thing, because put your seatbelts on for all of this. Sometimes to experience more contentment, peace, happiness, again, it's an energy. Sometimes I'm going to have to lie. So because, and when I say lie, not lie to myself, but lie to others. And I'll give you a perfect example. When my mother was alive, she loved to watch the news. You know, there's some people that are addicted to watching the news. That's got to be okay. No judgment here, but they love watching the news. And my mother was one of them. And I never liked watching the news. I just think it was any good news. It's always bad news. It's you know, mass murder after mass murder. No, thank you. But while she was alive, she would always ask me, and she knew I didn't watch the news, but she'd keep asking me, did you see, did you watch the news? You need to watch the news. You need to know what's going on in the world, on and on and on. And then there came a time when I just started saying, when she asked me, did I watch the news? I just started saying, yes. Yes, I watch the news. I watch the news. When do you want me to watch the news? All the time? Yeah, I watch the news all the time. So that's just another example, my dear Sparkly Queen, about sometimes lying, at least my perspective, is appropriate. It depends on how committed you are to this peace. Lying is not only appropriate, but it is necessary. Ooh, I'm gonna get some stuff on that one. I know I'm gonna get it on that. You know, wanted to, let me just look at my notes as far as this Mother's Day. I just want to make sure I covered everything and how this obligation, having an obligation to someone or scratch it off to someone, having a day that you're obligated to behave in a certain way, that's totally up to you. And if you are in my life and I know you and care about you as a friend or however the relationship is, there is not going to be one obligation, not one obligation. I do not need you to behave in any kind of way to make me feel better. I do not need you to behave or act or say or text or call or give me a gift to so that I will feel better. My feelings, my vibration, my energy are my responsibility. I do not need you to do anything to make me feel a certain way. And if you're out there, my dear listeners, and if you're out there and you need someone else that you claim to love, oh, gosh, I know. You need somebody else that you need somebody else to behave in a way so you will feel better, know that that's not love. It's whatever you want to call it. It's conditional. But it's not universal love. It's a program type of love. It's a program type of behavior. So is Mother's Day, only to you, is Mother's Day a joy or an obligation? And you are going to have to ask that question, how Mother's Day can or has the possibility of subtracting from your happiness. This guilt, this obligation, is a program. It's a learned behavior. And anybody, and I say anybody that's going to cause or scratch that cause, because it's only if you allow it, but anybody that, you didn't call me, and why didn't you, and you didn't, and No. And back to my one and only son. Thank you, Sparkly Queen. Thank you, sweetie. Back to my one and only son. I asked him a few days ago. I always ask him, do you feel obligated? I do not want my son to feel obligated. Even, here we go. Listen to this one. Even to the point of feeling obligated, say I wound up in the hospital. Who knows? Something happens, I'm in the hospital. I don't need him to even feel obligated to visit or to make a phone call. I know it's way out there. The gift is to give the people that you claim to love their freedom to be themselves. The gift of giving the people that you say that you love the freedom for them to be themselves. Everybody isn't down with this dinner, gift, buying, shopping. Why is everybody doing the same thing on the same day? Programmed to do the same thing on the same day. So it comes back to you. And when you say that you love someone, this is just my perspective. I know I get a lot of pushback on this one. When you say that you love somebody, they don't receive assignments from you. What? She said that the love is without assignments, that the love is without strings attached. The love is without conditions. Yes, the love is, I called you 5 times or I called you 3 times in a day. That means that you care. No, that just means that you Listen, I'm not saying that that doesn't mean that you care, but that doesn't just mean that you care. That could just mean that you you feel obligated. It's just a different perspective. Happiness is the new wealth. Let me ask you a few questions, and then we're gonna wrap it up. Do you trust, do you know, do you believe that everything that's happening is happening for your betterment? Everything that you experience, and I mean not just one thing, everything. Do you trust, do you believe that the universe has and always will have your best interest in every moment of your life, including those moments, ooh, you know the moments I'm talking about. You know the ones that if I was in control, trust me, they wouldn't exist. Do you trust and believe that everything is in perfect order? And let's get back to this. Are you taking whatever, including this life, are you taking this life, are you taking the days, are you taking the moments so seriously, that energy, that vibration of seriousness, that heavy, this is serious, this is important. There's a different vibration to that. This is serious. This is important. Or are you just, this is what's going on, this is what's happening next moment. You can feel the difference when you're in tune to your own energy. Do you take anything personally? I mean, there's been plenty of times that I've asked my son, you don't have to call me on Mother's Day. In fact, don't call me. Meaning, the biggest gift, one of the biggest gifts, is to let these people go of any obligation. Of any obligation. If someone is giving because of love or because of this, because they are inspired, it's a totally different vibration than giving out of obligation and guilt. You can feel the difference. And the other thing is the stories, the thoughts. Are you believing these stories? Are you even entertaining the stories, the thoughts and the stories? Are you identifying with these stories? Let go of identifying with these stories and let go of thinking that these stories are the truth. The stories are one perspective. And the other thing I want to throw in is being in somebody else's business. Now, I know when my first caller, what was her name? I just don't want to pronounce it incorrectly. When she called, just talking about husband and them having a conversation. The other thing is just stay out of these people's business. Let these people be themselves. It's okay for you to witness. Witnessing, you're not going to subtract from your contentment when you're witnessing. The only time you subtract from your contentment and your peace and your happiness is when you're making a judgment about what you're witnessing. Don't think I have this down 100%. It's always a practice. I've always got something to do, but I can feel when I'm judging and I can feel when I'm just witnessing and describing. Describing and witnessing. Staying out of other people's business. And you know the other thing? Have patience. Have patience with yourself. Have patience with your growth. Have patience with these other people. You, me, these other people, you know, those people, we're doing the best we can in every single moment. As mothers, as friends, as coworkers, relatives, family members, everyone is doing the best that they can. So the change, the shift, The growth doesn't come from somebody else doing something so now you can feel better. The growth, the shift, the change comes from within. It comes from that person in the mirror. Stay open, or scratch that, practice staying open to more than one experience, to more than one possibility, to more than one perspective. Oof. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. The whole point is to question or to ask yourself if your behavior is because of a program, is because of what the ego, what I'm just going to speak for myself, what my ego wants me to do. I can feel the difference between inspiration and ego-spiration and ego-inspired act. It's easy. The ego is going to always come up with some kind of drama. Ask the ego for something peaceful. Ask the ego to ask your ego, hey, how can I go through this with the most peace possible, experiencing the most peace possible. Ask the ego for that direction. You're going to be waiting a long time for the answer. And with that, today's show, Mother's Day, can celebrating Mother's Day subtract from your happiness? Hell yes. When you allow, when you choose obligation, guilt, to make a decision. And the bold decision is, scratch that bold. And another decision is, have a communication with these people that are in your family, that you love. Hey, you know what? I love you, but I don't feel like going out to dinner on Mother's Day. Is that okay? Scratch that, is that okay? Having a conversation, letting the other people know, communicating with them you're honest, what you're honest and how you're honestly feeling is another gift. It's another gift of love. Just not having a conversation because of confrontation or for whatever reason. Communication is really the key, honest communication. Anyway. That's all I have for today, unless someone else wants to say something. That's the end of today's Mother's Day show. Thank you for listening. Reality, spirituality. Hold on a second. Reality, spirituality is heard. Okay, let me go. I was going to say goodbye, but someone wants to say hello, and I'm always down for... I don't know why, but I'm checking. I'm pushing the check box, but it's not happening. Oh, there we go. Guest waiting, Terry. I believe I've spoken to you before. Let's see. Let me press again. Yeah, I'm pressing the purple check mark. Okay, here we go. Guest is joining. Is this my friend from Australia?
A few thousand miles away from there.
London. London, UK. UK, yes, I remember. Welcome again.
Hello. Yeah, I think it's the second time I've spoken to you, actually. It's not just Mother's Day, you know. You've got Father's Day. You've got... Well, Christmas, obviously.
All the holidays. Every single holiday is a program obligation. Every single Thanksgiving, 4th of July, Groundhog Day, Halloween, all of them. Yes, go ahead.
And it's a bit like goodwill to all men for one day only. What about the other 364 days of the year, as you mentioned, you know? And, it's like, oh, if I'm nice on one day of the year, I can be a bastard for the rest of the year with some people, isn't it? You know? And at least Ebenezer Scrooge was true to himself until he saw the light, of course.
Now, I have a question. Staying on Mother's Day, what has your experience been on Mother's Day? Did you feel obligated if your mother's still around? What has your experience been with this obligation and Mother's Day?
Well, the situation with me and my mother is we don't talk. It is what it is. You know, we don't have a relationship, basically.
And so let me just say, first of all, thank you so much for being honest about that. And isn't that more of the, I find that so many relationships are difficult in the first place. And so the reason why, I don't need to know the reason why you don't speak, but this facade of everything's wonderful and everything's, listen to me, everything is great and Mother's Day and let's just put all that away and celebrate one day. What a program.
It is a program. Yeah. We're programmed from children to react in certain ways and feel obliged. Be a people pleaser. But often, you're not allowed to please yourself. How does that work?
I have a question. I have a question for you, and I have a question, and you don't have to answer it if you don't want to. If you're, because you don't have a relationship with your mother, you're talking about you don't speak with her. If your mother died tomorrow, would you have any regrets or any guilt or any of that, or any of that coming up? If she died tomorrow, would you be okay? And you don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but yeah, I'm curious.
Because I'm a human being. And I still have emotions, I probably would feel a certain way. But then again, my mother made decisions in her life. She made a decision to become an alcoholic. She made a decision to tell me to leave the family home. She made, you know, everybody makes choices. And, you know, you had to accept them. And, yeah, I had to get out of the environment to become my true self. And I still have a good relationship with my father, although at the time we actually turned against him because of things we wasn't aware of. And have you ever read The Celestine Prophecy, Rebecca?
No, but I want to get back to your responding that you would have a certain,
yeah.
you would feel a certain way. And all of
yeah.
your feeling would be a program, or program feelings a certain way. So if, in other words, if there is something that you are scratch that. Go ahead.
Some people do not get on for whatever reason. And you were talking about somebody's opinion of you, and they might praise you and say, oh, you're a great person, but then another person might say you're a horrible person.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, other people's opinion on you, it's none of your business. It's none of my business. And if somebody says I'm a great person, I take it with a pinch of salt. If somebody says I'm a bastard, I take it with a pinch of salt, because ultimately it's their opinion.
Oh, come back, Terry, if you can. Come back, yes. Yes, come back. Yes, and I totally agree that that's why one of the practices that I do... you can't compliment me, and you can't compliment me, and you can't insult me.
I'm not, just because a person is family doesn't mean you have any obligation to them, and they don't have no... I don't have no power over you, although, for some reason, a lot of parents think they own their children, and the children has to be you're like a mini me of them, you know, and it's not possible. We're all sovereign beings, and we all have our own journey in life. And sometimes, as we know, a lot of famous child stars are pushed forward by their parents because they want them to become, they want to live their life through that child. And what happens with a lot of famous child stars?
Well, I'm going to stop you right there, only because, number one, it's making a lot of judgments about other people, and I get it. And the other thing that I'm just talking about me and my practice, I'm not noticing what other people are doing. I used to.
No.
I used to, but noticing what someone else is doing and making a conclusion about what someone else is doing only subtracts from my own. And
I'm not making a judgment, because that is down to them. You know, everybody, some people become serial killers. Some people become a modern-day saint. Not literally, of course, but, it's all about perspective. And, ultimately, there is no right and wrong. It just is. And ultimately, the universe will hopefully put things in your path, but, you know, it will give you experiences, and sometimes the experiences are not always pleasant. But sometimes you have to go through that unpleasantness to learn a certain lesson.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. And not only sometimes, always, whatever. Go ahead.
Yeah, ultimately, I believe the universe wants us to live our highest excitement and to find our passion in life. And,
I believe the universe, I believe that the universe doesn't care what we do. I don't care. The universe doesn't have a preference as far as what, but the universe is living through us, definitely, but as far as the preference, so each preference, each human, it's living through that person. It's having a human experience. So, but as a, I understand what you're saying. I really do appreciate you and your contribution and your comments, and you're right. Now you're on another level. There is no right and wrong. Try selling that to the world. But you're right. Try selling that to the world. Come on now.
It's all perception. Each individual person, you couldn't show a movie to two separate people, and they'll both get a different experience from it and see different things in it.
And
you know, the universe is experiencing itself through us, Rebecca.
That's right.
That's the way I look at it.
You're absolutely right. And they get a different perspective. Let's stay with the program, because they're programmed differently too.
Yes. And ultimately we are here, I believe, in my opinion, to create, to learn lessons and to discover who we really are, or remember what we are. How about that?
Well, I'm gonna challenge on the create part, because, and I do get it, but humans are. Create means bringing something that's out of nothing, creating something from nothing. And my perspective is that humans are not creators. I know, seatbelt time. But if you are creators, manifestors, then create a new star, create a new planet, create yourself 3 inches taller. So I get it, but this creating thing, I definitely believe that we're here to enjoy the ride, that we're here to flow, that we're here to experience. But create from nothing? Okay. I'm not going with
anything
that.
Anything is possible.
Yeah. So that's just me. That's just what I think. And I get so much pushback from the manifestors. Oh, I'm a manifestor. I can manifest. And I'm not. Oh, Lord. I just pushed myself out of this hole. Hold on, I've got to re-enter. I have to re-enter the studio. That's what happens when I don't pay attention. Okay, here we go. Back to this creating and manifesting again. How about manifesting world peace? How about manifesting a cure for these C viruses, infections, cancers, COVID? How about manifesting that? So creator, I get it. It's another program, but what are you creating? You see why I don't have any friends? That's the end now. Now that's the truth. That's the end of today's show. Thank you for listening. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And visit my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. LinkedIn, my Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. I have a few videos on YouTube. Yay! Of course, everything's going to be updated. When? Who knows? Feel free to check out some of the videos I have on YouTube. And my first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. I wrote a chapter in a collaborative book called The Book I Read. That went to number one last year in March. And then the book that I'm writing now, Program for Unhappiness. Yes, 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 Program for Unhappiness. I'm going to have to throw that in. I don't know if I want to throw in the manifesting thing yet because, you know, hitting people right between the eyes with no, you can't manifest anything. Woo! That's why I'm way over here and you're way over there. Woo! Wow, that's a hard one. Until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. Your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself by accepting yourself in every phase of the journey. Accepting yourself unconditionally in every moment, giving yourself an A+, be your own best friend. And remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, happiness specialist Rebecca L. Norrington. And remember, happiness is a practice skill, and I promise you, the more you practice, and it is a daily practice, no days off, no weekends off, no vacation. The more you practice, your experience in every moment will reflect on what you practice. Happiness, inner peace, and contentment are all practice skills. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a new experience.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Get down,
reality,